Thank you for tuning into sermons from Liberty Baptist Church in Newport Beach, California. Our goal is to help you know God more and take the next step in your spiritual journey, no matter where you're at. If you have questions about God or about Liberty, you can connect with us at libertybaptistchurch.org. We pray that the Lord will use this message to be a help and encouragement in your life.
Early in his ministry, Billy Graham, who would go on to become the most well-known evangelist in the world, early in his ministry, he was looking for the post office in a small town where he was preaching a revival service. He needed to mail out a letter and didn't know where it was, and so he saw a little boy, and he asked him, he said, "Can you point me toward the post office? Can you show me where that is?" And the young man put Dr. Graham on the right path. The evangelist thanked him. And as they were leaving, Dr. Graham said, "I'm preaching a service tonight. I'd love for you to join us at church." And here's what he said. He said, "I'm going to be telling people how to get to heaven." The boy replied, "I don't think I'll be there. You don't even know how to get to the post office." "This morning, I'll be telling everyone here how to get to heaven. But you don't have to trust in my sense of direction this morning. The truth will be coming directly from the words of God, from God himself." We've been studying here at Liberty in the last couple of weeks what is known as Holy Week. Holy Week or Passion Week, it is the week from what is known as Palm Sunday, which would have been last Sunday, where Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. They worshiped him as a king through Resurrection Sunday today. And we've been looking at the different events. And over the last few messages, we have seen Jesus our King. We have seen Jesus, our example, in our Good Friday service, and what a packed house we had. Thank you for being here as we remembered the crucifixion of Christ. On Good Friday, we saw Jesus, our Savior. This morning, we're going to look at the final 2 days of what is known as Holy Week, Saturday and Sunday. And today, we're going to see Jesus, our hope. Jesus, our hope. Saturday of Holy Week is often referred to as Silent Saturday, and Sunday, of course, is known as Resurrection Sunday, or what is referred to as Easter Sunday. Saturday is known as Silent Saturday because the Bible speaks very little of anything that happened on this day. It tells us that the Roman guards sealed the tomb to make it sure so that nobody could try to steal the body of Christ. It tells us that on that Saturday, and we can infer from some of the other passages, that what happened on that Saturday after Christ had died on the cross for our sins, we know that the disciples were in mourning. They were grieving. They were in fear. They were in confusion. Some of them wondering if they had given their lives to a lost cause. Had I dedicated my life to this man that promised things that he couldn't fulfill? Some of them faced death themselves because they were followers of Christ. Had their entire faith been in vain on this Silent Saturday? Their investment in the cause of Christ, had it been for nothing? The future looked hopeless. It seemed as though that all that they had given the last few years of their lives to was now pointless. They were in between what had happened, the crucifixion, and what was going to happen, the resurrection. They're on Saturday in between what had happened and what would happen. And Easter reminds us, Jesus our hope. On Silent Saturday, Jesus is our hope in the in-between. Those times when God seems silent. Have you ever been there? You're in between what has happened and what you're not sure will happen. They had promises of what would happen, but it didn't seem possible. And maybe you're there today, what had happened, and you want to believe, and you want to believe that God has some great things in store, but you're in the in-between when our hearts are overwhelmed with sadness and grief, when the circumstances of our lives seem to make no sense, when it seems like all hope is lost. That's where the disciples found themselves on that Saturday, having no idea what tomorrow would look like. The in-between is when we're confused by what has happened and afraid of what might happen. The story of Christ reminds us, Resurrection Sunday reminds us, that he is our hope in the in-between. He is our hope when we're confused by what has happened and we're scared of what might be to come. He is our hope in those days. Do you find yourself in a spot like that today? Like Job, maybe you can resonate and you sometimes say, And where is now my hope? For my hope, as for my hope, who shall see it? Nobody's going to see that. And I just want to say this morning, if you're here today feeling like you're in the in-between, there is hope because we serve a risen Savior. It might feel like Saturday, but Sunday's coming. If your heart is breaking, I'm here to tell you there is hope. If your world is crumbling, there is hope. If your marriage is in trouble, there is hope. If your children are struggling, there is hope. If you can't figure out what He's doing, there's hope. If you're facing a crisis of faith, there's hope. I don't know everything that every person in this room and those watching online are facing, but He does, and there's hope. Your life may feel like Saturday. Nothing's happening. Everything seems silent. Pain looking back, fear looking forward, but there is hope. With the psalmist, I say to you this morning, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope. Hope is an expectancy of the future, an unseen and unknown future. Resurrection, the resurrection of Christ, Silent Saturday reminds us you can have hope in the in-between seasons where fear seems to be louder than faith, where you can't find a smile because your heart is shattered. And now we pick up our text in John 20. If you have a copy of God's word, you can follow along. If not, I'll have the verses on the screen. But it's the moment we've all been waiting for in Holy Week. We've walked through Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Silent Saturday. We've been singing about this moment all this morning, all Sunday morning, today. John chapter 20, verse number 1. The first day of the week. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. We see on that first Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, Mary comes and she looks and the stone is gone and there's no body in there. And by the way, for us, that's a really exciting development. At this moment, it was not an exciting development. At this moment, it was confusing. In fact, it was adding insult to injury. Not only had they watched their Lord die on the cross, but now someone has taken his body and they don't know where it is. Not only do they have to deal with the mourning and the grief of the death of a loved one, now they can't find the body, and there is greater grief. It was the initial response was not what we sang today, hallelujah, he arose. The initial response was, who took him? And so she goes back to tell the disciples, and James and John who wrote this, James and John come to the tomb. It's interesting because in a passage filled with death and suffering and sorrow, one of the more humorous verses to me in all of the Bible is right here. John chapter 20, verse number 3. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. The other disciple, by the way, in verse number 2, it says, Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. We know the other disciple is the guy writing it. So to me, it's kind of humorous. Peter and the one that Jesus really loved went to the disciples. So that part's already humorous to me. We got verse number 3. Then verse number 4. For some reason, on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, John decided to add this detail. So they ran both together. Look at the next phrase. And the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. I want everyone for all eternity to know, John said, I beat him to the tomb. I'm the faster runner. I saw this meme. It made me laugh. It said of Peter, John speaking, I wrote about you. Peter, about how I walked on water? No. Peter, about how I was the first one to declare Jesus was the Messiah? No, about how you came second in the race to the grave. I don't know why it's in there, but a little levity to what is a very serious, impactful story. But we see here that we see as they come, they were confused. Mary had told them, somebody took the body. Look, if you will, they're sad. Look at verse number 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher. What's that word there, church? She stood without doing what? Weeping. And as she wept, she stood down and looked into the sepulcher. Maybe I missed them. She looked back in. And seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've taken him. Somebody stole his body. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. A beautiful verse. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Aren't you glad he knows our name? Aren't you glad he speaks into our pain? He said, Mary. Mary, immediately. She knew that voice. She recognized that. She turned herself and saith unto Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Go tell them I'm alive. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. What do I see? Jesus, our hope in the in-between. But on Resurrection Sunday, I want to remind you this morning, Jesus is our hope in sorrow. No matter the depth of our grief and our sorrow, the fact that Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave gives us hope, gives us joy, gives us purpose. As one songwriter said, I read the back of the book and we win. No matter what you're facing today, Resurrection Sunday is a reminder. He is your reason for hope, even in the midst of your greatest grief and sorrow. He's our hope and sorrow. Jesus cared that she was weeping. He showed her individual love and gave her hope. Song number 416 in our hymnal was written in 1901 by a Methodist pastor by the name of Frank Graff. Frank was known as the Sunshine Minister. His spirit was so contagious and joyful that people called him the Sunshine Minister. He literally lit up every room that he walked in. He always had a happy smile and a kind word for everyone that he met. But even the brightest lights sometimes walk through darkness, don't they? Even the most joyful of believers sometimes face deep valleys and deep trials. In one particularly difficult season, Graff faced deep suffering and sorrow. There was physical pain. He slumped into a depression. He was a broken heart. He felt alone in his valley of grief. And he asked the question that so many of us have whispered in our own grief. Does Jesus care? Does Jesus care about my sorrow? Does Jesus care when my heart is broken? Does Jesus care about my grief and my tears when the tears run all the night long? And in that moment, a familiar scripture verse came to Frank. And 1 Peter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. In that, one of his darkest moments of life, the Sunshine Minister was ministered by this verse that he does care in my sorrow. From that sacred place of sorrow with tear-stained cheeks, Graff wrote the hymn, Does Jesus Care? Answered the question himself in a song that has comforted generations. The first verse says, Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? It has four stanzas, and every one of them finishes with a resounding answer in the chorus, Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. You can read that song and listen to it on another time, but isn't that the story we see in John 20, Mary standing outside the empty tomb weeping? Does anyone care? And as she sits outside the empty tomb with a shattered heart, that is right where God meets her. God meets us in our tears. The one who is touched by our pain is alive. So when your heart feels too heavy for song, remember, he cares. He's our hope and sorrow. Verse number 19, we continue in the story. Verse number 19, it says, Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, so it's Sunday night on the first Resurrection Sunday, the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled. Why were the disciples all together in one room? I want you to see it. What does it say? They were all assembled for what? Fear. For what? Fear. Of the Jews. They were all assembled for fear of the Jews. Then came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. On Resurrection Sunday, they were all together because they were the only ones they could trust. We've all got to stay together. People, the Jews are going to try to kill us. They've killed our master. What's going to happen? And they're all there. And what is there? Again, for us, up from the grave he arose. Hallelujah. This has been a morning of victory and of rejoicing and of praise. But that first Resurrection Sunday wasn't that. That first Resurrection Sunday, there was great sorrow and there was great fear. They were assembled for fear of the Jews. And may I say to you this morning, Jesus is our hope in fear. His presence brought hope. What was one of the final things that he told his followers before he left this earth? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We see here that it says in their fear, he came and his presence brought them hope. He came and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. I want you to know you don't have to live in fear. Because I've risen, you have hope in your fear. Because I've risen, you have a future that is sure. Because I've risen, my presence will never leave you. Lo, I am with you always. Even unto the end of the world. The prophet Isaiah said, when you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. He is our hope when we're afraid. I don't know. I know that we all got up and got put together today and everybody put on maybe some of their Sunday best maybe and came to an Easter service and we have smiles. But undoubtedly, there are some hearts that are in the in-between. And undoubtedly, there are some hearts that are deeply sorrowful today. And some hearts that are really afraid of what might be coming. What's tomorrow going to look like? And I'm here to tell you, he's our hope and fear. Verse number 24, not only were there some of the disciples that were fearful, but we see in verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. He wasn't there on Sunday night. Verse 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. Hey, Thomas, you won't believe what you've missed. Don't you hate friends like that that tell you all the good stuff you missed? You should have been here. Well, just keep it to yourself. I don't want to know. My FOMO is real, right? I don't want to know that. You won't believe. We saw him. You saw who? We saw Jesus. Whatever, guys. No, we saw Jesus. He was right here. No, he wasn't. Okay, I got it. Where's the hidden cameras? I got it. All right, what is it? This is a prank, right, guys? No, it wasn't. Look what Thomas said. Verse number 25. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Look at this. Then came Jesus. Aren't you glad that Jesus comes to us in the midst of our doubts? The doors being shut and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas. He wasn't there when Thomas said this. He comes in, peace be unto you. How are you guys doing? I'm here. And then he looks at Thomas. Hey, Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I want to remind you that he is our hope in times of doubt. Doubt is a natural experience for the human. We want to see things. We want to know it for sure. We want to, I'll believe it if I see it. We say that. It's literally in our vernacular. I'll believe it when I see it. And I'm here to tell you, you may have some doubts. You may have some struggles. And Jesus comes into those doubts and he has the answers. Maybe some of you are like that. I'll believe it when I see it. Jesus didn't condemn necessarily Thomas for his doubt. He came to him in his doubt, but he encouraged others to believe without seeing. After thousands of failed attempts to create a working light bulb, Thomas Edison famously said, I have not failed, I've just found 10,000 ways that won't work. What does he have? I don't know if I'm ever going to finish this, but I'm not losing hope. May I say, you may struggle with some doubts. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Oh, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. Stay close to Jesus. Let him speak to you in your doubts. Keep coming. Keep reading. Keep praying. And then lastly, the last two verses we'll look at. Verse number 30. Would you read verses 30 and 31 aloud? We'll have them on the screen here. Verse number 30. Ready? Begin. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Jesus is our hope in life and death. He's our hope. He's our only hope in life and in death. "These things I told you," Jesus, God says here in the book, John wrote it, "I told you about the first resurrection Sunday." Why? "That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ." Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is the word that means Messiah or Savior. So when we say Jesus Christ, it's a title. Jesus the Savior. Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the sent one, the promised one. "The reason I told you about this first resurrection Sunday," John said, "is that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that in believing, you might have life through his name." Not through your works, through his name you might have life. For John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What is our only hope in life? It's Jesus. And in death, it's Jesus. What is our only hope in sorrow? It's the resurrected Savior. And in doubt, it's the resurrected Savior. And in the in-between, it's the resurrected Savior. And in our times of fear, it's the resurrected Savior. And when death comes knocking on our door, as it will for all of us, if God should tarry in his coming, what is our only hope in death? It is the resurrected Savior. He was the disciples' hope in life. It's what they had given their lives to. And if we're being honest, that first Saturday and Sunday, they had lost some of that hope. They were sorrowful. They were doubting. They were fearful. They were afraid. He was their hope in life, and what did he show them after he raised? "I'm not just your hope in life, I'm your hope in death. I came that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." If you're here this morning, and you don't have that hope of heaven, you aren't completely sure that heaven is your home, I want to tell you today, you can be sure. Not "I hope so," not "I think so," not "well, I hope my good works outweigh my bad works," "well, I'm doing my best," as Jack kind of said in his testimony video, "well, I'm a good person." You don't have to hope that you're good enough. He has been good enough for you. You don't have to rest in your righteousness. You can have the righteousness of Christ applied to your life. You can be sure that heaven is your home and Jesus is your Savior. Do we have any Dodgers fans in the room? Let me just see here. Any Dodgers fans in the room? Few of you. Last year's World Series, the Dodgers won one of the most exciting and epic Game 7s in history. They won it in extra innings. Literally, the end of the series, as far as you could go, went farther. They ended this incredible series with this play.
Here's the 0-2 pitch. Kirk bounces one up the middle. Bats to the back. Over to first to beat the champ. You gotta knock him out. Dodgers stand tall and win back-to-back titles.
That was the most excited some of you got here this morning on Resurrection Sunday. What if I told you that future Hall of Fame pitcher in that moment that we just watched, Clayton Kershaw, didn't realize his team had won the World Series? At that moment, what would be the final out of his 18-season career, he had no idea they had won the title. You see, there was only one out. He was in the bullpen. There was one out, and if the batter, they got the batter, whatever happened with that batter, either got on or got out, there would have been two outs or one out still, and the next guy coming up, they were going to bring Kershaw in to pitch to the next guy, so he was laser-focused on his bullpen session, and he was literally throwing a pitch when that double play happened, didn't stop to look. I saw an interview with him, and bullpen coach Josh Bard saw the final play and shouted that they won. Kershaw missed it, so he turned to the pitching coach and said, "Are you sure?" The 37-year-old left-hander had just entered retirement as a world champion, and he didn't realize it. In the most important moment of his career, he wasn't sure. I want to say this, don't come to the most important decision of your life and not be sure. I want to ask you, are you sure that Jesus is your Savior, that your sins are forgiven, that heaven's your home? Easter is the day when Christians shout, "We're sure. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by him. He is our only hope in life and death." And so the question is, are you sure that Christ is your Savior, that heaven is your eternal home? I pray that today's message on Easter Sunday reminds each and every person here, you can have hope. You can have hope in the in-between. You can have hope in your sorrow, hope in your fear, hope in your doubt, hope in life, and most importantly, hope in death. Why? Because hope is not just some abstract, ethereal idea. Hope has a name. Hope was misunderstood, lied about, and betrayed. Hope was falsely accused and unjustly convicted. Hope was spat upon and crowned with a crown of thorns. Hope was bruised and bloodied. Hope was nailed to a cross and crucified like a criminal. Hope died with a broken heart and a broken body. And then, hope was buried in a borrowed tomb. Did you hear that? Hope was buried. Hope lay silent in darkness, and his followers had no hope. Oh, but what we celebrate today is that hope didn't stay in that borrowed tomb. Oh no, hope got up from that tomb, and hope conquered sin, death, and grave. Hope had been safely guarded by the Roman soldiers, but they couldn't keep hope from rising again. A heavy stone couldn't stop hope. Despite all their best efforts, they couldn't keep hope down for long. Oh yes, church, hope is alive, and hope has a name, and hope lives forevermore, and hope's name is Jesus. He is our hope. He's our eternal hope. And I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus, our hope, wants to be your personal Savior. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul said it this way simply in Romans 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I don't know your story. I don't know why you're here. I don't know who invited you. I don't know if this is your first time or you've been here 1,000 times. But here's my challenge to you as we close. I'm glad you came to celebrate hope, to celebrate Jesus this morning. And it means so much if you're a guest that you're here. But my challenge to you is don't just celebrate it this morning. Receive it. Receive the hope that only Christ can give. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. As we all bow our heads and close our eyes for a time of prayer and reflection, I want to invite you to accept Christ as your Savior right there where you sit. For me, I was a 9-year-old boy that walked into a Bible preaching church like this for the very first time. I had never heard the message that I just preached to you, but it was on that Sunday with the faith of a child that I believed in my heart the Lord Jesus and confessed with my mouth that God had raised him from the dead. And it was on that day with the faith of a child. I didn't understand all of the theological implications, but it was that day I believe that my soul passed from death unto life, that God received my faith. And that could be that day for you. For Greg, it was 5 years ago today. If you're here this morning, you say, "Pastor Ryan, if I'm being honest, I don't know for sure that heaven is my home. I don't have that hope in death. But today, the best I know how, I want to receive Christ as my Savior." If that's you, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. There's no magical prayer. These words can't save you, but you can pray this prayer from your heart to Christ. If you're here today, you say, "I don't know for sure if I were to die that I would go to heaven." I want to encourage you to pray this prayer this morning. Nobody looking around. I'll encourage you to pray something like this. "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I acknowledge that my sin has to be paid for. I believe that you sent your son Jesus to take my place, to pay my penalty, to forgive my sins. God, the best I know how, I'm trusting you and you alone, Jesus, to come into my life, to forgive my sins, to take me to heaven when I die. Would you save me? And would you help me to live for you from this day forward as a follower of Christ?
Thank you for listening to Messages from Liberty. Tune in next week for more Bible teaching or subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with our current series.